Okay, welcome to the Couch Rider Report with your host, Jeremy Dove. And I have a very, very special guest on today, a Mr. Michael Prash. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. You mispronounced handsome, actually.
That's true.
You did.
I did.
It's a funny way of saying it.
You know, I guess I'm so used to being the best looking guy in the room that it's just, you know, I forget to look at the little people. But you're right.
Yeah.
The handsome Michael Prash. Forgive me, everyone.
Oh, man.
It's good to see you, man.
It is always an absolute pleasure seeing the Jeremy. I don't know. You know, it's weird, man. Like, every time that I see that, like, you're going to be somewhere, we're all hanging out with, like, you know, Jimmy and Carly and, you know, Rob and stuff. I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be great. I'll be fine. And then I'm like, oh, Jeremy's coming to be there. I'm going to be like, yeah.
That's how I feel, man.
Yeah.
I tell Jim, Jim is a mutual friend. I tell Jim all the time that it's always great to see you. And that you always, it's like that warm, like, it's like apple pie, man.
That's actually my middle name. It's Handsome Michael Apple Pie Prash.
I thought so.
Yeah,
I thought
that's how it is.
Very common middle name. But I have Mike on because Mike is a big UFC fan, big MMA. I'm going to call you an expert.
I wouldn't say I'm an expert.
I'm going to call you one, though.
I'm an expert.
We're calling you handsome. I'm going to call you an expert.
I'm an expert in viewing.
But you you work for the Pennsylvania State Commission.
I do. I am an inspector for the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission, yes.
Yeah, so I call you, you know, you're in the field as well.
A little bit.
And, you know, I have you on because we are going to be talking a lot of UFC, MMA, martial arts, and just having a good time.
Don't forget Mayweather Promotions now.
Mayweather Promotions. Exactly. Exactly.
Don't forget TMT and all them.
So, we can't. So, we have to start. You mentioned Money Mayweather. So, we have to start with the fight. There's a few fights for me that are, you know, must-watch TV. But yes, we'll start with the first one that I think has the whole sports world talking.
Yeah, it has non-combat sports world talking.
It has even Mike Greenberg from Mike and Mike and all these people talking, so it's huge.
When you get any, you know, Eddie Alvarez fought Conor McGregor back in November. Eddie Alvarez is the Philly fighter MMA kid, and I didn't hear a blip.
No.
Conor McGregor, some stud from Ireland, is going to fight, you know, arguably the world's greatest boxer.
It shut everything down.
It bumped the sports world DJ table, is what it did. One, because nobody thought it was going to happen.
I really didn't. We're talking Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, and
I believe in a 12-round sanctioned pro boxing match out in either Vegas or California.
Right.
I was reading up on rumors that Conor McGregor sought licensing, boxing licensing in those respective athletic commissions and was granted them. I mean, because you can't have a boxing license is different than an MMA license. There's
okay.
No just general combat sport license that you have, at least in the state of Pennsylvania, is what I can speak on from looking at licensing forms and all that stuff.
Now, let me ask you something, because you kind of triggered a question in me, which is that, you know, over the past, I don't know if you want to say under a decade, 5 to 10 years, UFC really has been hotter than boxing. Or would you disagree?
I would say that MMA, as much as I love it, I think it had a very bright flash in the pan. I think it has now cooled down a little bit. You know, after, you know, The Ultimate Fighter put it on the map, Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin, you know, their famous slugfest.
Right, that fight really got it going.
It did really get it going. However, it's not, my opinion, one of the best fights I've ever seen.
No, but it's still
But it got it out there. You know, for what it was worth, they came to show and they came to bang, and they genuinely looked like that they were having a good time while they were doing it, which was different than every other aspect of MMA promotion before then. You know, it was a blood sport, there's no rules, and then they were called human cockfighting by John McCain, and, you know, then they started getting rules, weight classes, all that stuff. So they really tried to clean it up, and that was really one thing where, for me, it was almost like they knew they were prize fighters. They weren't.
Right.
They were actual combat professional.
I guess it's funny because
it gave it a sense of class.
It seemed, right, and I definitely agree with that. But to see, you're right, that Conor, as hot as he's been on, he was on Sports Illustrated, he was everywhere.
He's in, like, GQ?
He's everywhere.
He
I would think, like, you know, maybe he can be close to equal footing with Floyd. But you're right. When he fought Eddie Alvarez, that hit UFC, you know, fans, MMA fans. But Floyd really is bringing him up, and he's hitting everywhere. Now, that's not that he wasn't known, but I think this fight is making him more of a household name.
Well, I know for a fact that MMA fighters definitely don't get any as much. They don't get a lot of love and respect in terms of their striking skills as boxers. And understandably, I mean, boxers, you know, when you reach a certain level in boxing, you haven't been doing it for 3 years. You know, you've been at the gym for years, you know, studying.
Your whole life, pretty
just
much.
Just throwing, I mean, you must have thrown a million jabs, not one leg kick. You've never had to defend a takedown. You've never had to stand in the way where you had to anticipate a non-hand strike.
Right.
And that was the only thing that you were anticipating. So, of course, you know, you see boxers and that you see MMA guys take boxing fights all the time, and they're doing it just for the money. They're not really showing up thinking that they're going to, you know, win. They think they know they got power. They know they can understand it. But it's kind of like saying, you know, me as, you know, I used to play, you know, T-ball and Little League and organized league. I know how to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Definitely don't have the ability to do it, but right. I can understand the concept.
Right.
So, you know, boxing is just such a more it's such a higher class of that skill set compared to spreading it across the spectrum that MMA fighters have to have.
You think this fight helps boxing more or UFC more?
I think that it has the potential to equally help both sports tremendously. Not that, you know, boxing, to bring it back to your one question, you know, boxing, you know, it wasn't necessarily dead. It was just that, you know, the UFC blowing up and Bellator throwing all, like Michael Chandler and Eddie Alvarez's two fights, you know, in Bellator were studly fights. They were of the best combat shows, displays of all time, in my opinion. But, you know, I think that the hype and the shock factor has kind of subsided a little bit now for MMA, and now all of a sudden we've got Triple G Canelo coming up. You know, we've got Danny Jacobs that just fought Triple G. You know, we had Klitschko going down.
But no one's talking about it. It seems all these boxing fights. These are some great fights.
They were.
And, you know, one's coming up in the past, but.
Andre Ward just finished Kovalev.
I know, but no one's talking about it.
I mean, nah.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't know where, and you, I don't have the numbers, but you always hear that boxing, and I know Mayweather-Pacquiao, the sales were through the roof, but it was a dud.
It wasn't exciting, man.
And
it was certainly a display of defense and footwork.
I wonder, by Floyd. And I wonder 5 years earlier what it would have done, and if that could have helped the sport even better.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be one of the things that's Floyd's going to have to. I mean, he ain't got to worry about anything. But that people are always going to talk about him not fighting Pacquiao 5 years earlier.
And I think, honestly, in my opinion, watching that fight, and I believed it, but I was kind of unsure. I always thought Floyd was going to win that, but I was like, man, I think you would have even done more work if he fought him 5 years earlier. Because Floyd, to me, is, you know, 5 years later, he wasn't as quick as he was in his timing. Well, so I'm like, I think he really would have done something to Pacquiao.
Floyd has never, ever not had the confidence in his own self. And, you know, you got to respect a man for that.
He
is very much aware of what he can do. And he has shown 49 other times that he does what he does. And, you know, here's the thing. You know what he's going to do. You know, he's not going to come out and, you know.
No, but he doesn't need to. And
exactly.
That's what people think, that when you're boxing, you need to have the best slug. It's not a street fight.
No, it's not. It's not a street fight. It's you're throwing fisticuffs, man.
Yeah.
Boxing is not, you know, after watching so much MMA, you know, boxing has the potential to really, I mean, Tim Haig just passed away up in Canada. You know, from a boxing bout. I mean, he was like 1-3 professionally. Fought an 8-1 champ. He lost 7 fights in the past since 2015 by straight knockout, like savage, like knockout style. And you know, maybe the commission shouldn't have let him fight. Maybe his team really shouldn't have let him fight. Or maybe it was just a freak thing. He got a punch in the right spot by a guy who was a heavyweight. But boxing is to me, boxing is a gentleman's way of resolving issues, where MMA is a fight. MMA, there's more ways to kill somebody in MMA than there are in boxing.
Absolutely.
To me, MMA is more of a realization that, you know, out in the street, someone can take you down, and in a few seconds, without throwing a punch, literally render you completely unaware of your surroundings and do whatever they want with you, and that is stuff you may not want, stuff you might want, kill you, rob you, whatever. They literally take you out of reality.
So do you think that, just to kind of ask this, boxing was from our dads, our grandpops, you know, for a long time, you were the heavyweight champ. That meant you, in people's opinion, you were the toughest guy. You were the toughest guy in the world. You were the baddest man on the planet.
Yes, you were, especially
if you were the heavyweight champ.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, we all know the names.
We can go Ali, Tyson, George Foreman, all these guys, way back to John L. Sullivan you know, all the way back there.
Yeah.
So do you think now with our generation, and, you know, we're UFC fans, and once, you know, start having kids, that it can kind of transform for UFC overtaking boxing?
I think in the combat sport world, I think that...
As far as popularity.
Popularity?
Yeah, popularity, not as ability. I know ability is
different. I would still love the idea that, you know, you're... Yeah, you know, I mean, Stipe Miocic, I mean, he's the baddest heavyweight on the planet. You know, there ain't no boxer that's going to beat him in a street fight.
No. Stipe is the Cleveland kid.
Yeah. However, but, you know, you get guys, you know, iconic names like, you know Joe Louis and Ali. And
Rocky Marciano, yes.
Yeah, you know, you know Dempsey even.
That's the truth. I wonder, can we have that with UFC?
Well, they're honestly, Fedor Emelianenko, I think, is, you know, the quintessential baddest man to have ever lived.
But no one knows him outside of a big MMA fan.
You're right. I think that.
And that's what I want to see.
I think his dominance. Like those other, every big name in boxing dominated. You know, they weren't, you know, they either dominated or they were in insane trilogies or insane slugfests where you were literally not sitting down during, you know, in between rounds, during the rest periods. You were in front of your radio or in front of your television, in front of your computer watching grainy stuff like literally like not realizing you're watching a recording or not realizing you're listening to something old. You know, MMA has had that, but I think that not so much at the height of the popularity of boxing, the longevity of it, the multiple regulatory bodies, because it's a different game plan, it's a different business practice in boxing and MMA, in terms of the promotion side of things, which plays a role. But with the heavyweight guys...
Well, and it's funny because you mentioned Fedor, and unlike, which a lot of people get mixed up in, Fedor was a great heavyweight, maybe the greatest fighter in MMA history, and he went through names. Where people want to look at boxing and the history of the heavyweight division, take out, you have Muhammad Ali's run in the 70s where he fought great heavyweights.
Yeah.
And I guess you have that 90s, that Tyson, Holyfield, Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
Those two little freeze frames in time. Yeah. Other than that, the heavyweight division has been garbage.
Well, you I mean, and here's the thing. Like,
Joe Lewis had, you know, a bum of the month club kind of. Mike Tyson fought bums, like, for the most, like,
well, Mike Tyson was 19, man. He was just a force of 19, and every boxer coming up is going to have, and MMA too, you're going to have guys that are just showing up for a paycheck. You know, they're showing up for a paycheck and they're going to try to get out of there. They're not staying the whole fight because they got to go to their job the next day. You know, it's really, really hard in any aspect of combat sports to really make a living at it because the cost of a gym is so expensive. You know, the amount of fighter pay, because I have, as the Pennsylvania State Athletic
Commission,
I have to transfer the payment from the promotion to the fighters, and I see what a lot of these guys are getting paid from the promotions through the Athletic Commission. I'm not talking about any endorsements or back promotional deals that they get paid to promote or whatever, and it's not a lot. I'm talking about guys that are on, you know, pay-per-view stream on internet stuff. I've only worked a couple of world title fights, and I paid them, and I was thinking that these guys are putting on their bodies through more, and they deserve more money. But that's
absolutely,
you know, I mean, I also haven't worked a, you know, but crazy, crazy, crazy big show.
So let me follow up with that then. Is it more of these guys who are making their careers either in UFC or boxing per se? Is it that, A lot of, you know, they see, someone sees them, sees that potential, and then says, hey, I'll take a chance in letting you train here. I'll take a chance in giving you that. Well, or what is it then with the how expensive it is and how tough it is to make a living?
Well, it's tough to make a living because it, by comparison, you know, you get, you don't get freak athletes fighting.
No, you don't.
Because big heavyweight guys that are super athletic, They're playing football. They're going to get scholarships. There's no scholarships for MMA.
No.
You know, there's scholarships for wrestling, you know, but what are you going to do with wrestling in college? You're going to go to the Olympics, which is ridiculous. And if you are a good-looking, super athletic, super successful person,
they get paid
person,
nothing for Olympics.
No, but you do get endorsements. You know, you do get kind of sponsors.
Which changed. You know, it's right? You've probably, I don't know, well, all the 30 for 30 about Team Foxcatcher and, you know,
oh, yeah,
Dave Schultz and Mark Schultz and those.
It was like the DuPont family was in on that.
Yeah.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, but before then, like, you won the gold medal and you pretty much came home and
that
had
was it.
Nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
Had a gold medal. Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, you, Tito Ortiz didn't get paid for his first several UFC fights because he was on a college scholarship and they took that seriously. They were going to take it away from him if he got paid.
That's insane.
So there's more money to be made. Even not money, there's more opportunities. When you're a 200-plus pound athlete who can, you know, shoot a basketball, throw a baseball, or tackle somebody.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's just more opportunities there. I mean, and you don't got to get punched in the face to do it.
No.
You know?
No.
I don't care who you are. You don't want to get punched in the face all, you know, you might think it's like, you know, wake you up a little bit, but getting punched in the face sucks.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, knocking somebody out is... Who's trying to knock you out? Like when you're in that, you know. I mean, that's
and I look at these guys, you know, talking about Floyd and Connor and so many others. It comes down to it to me. Fighters are born; they're not made.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a. There's a. You know, even if you're dogging it, even if you're, you know, you just got into it to stay in shape and you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's a thing about. It's a couple of things. It's a mindset of wanting to compete.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it's just, you know, somebody thinks that they can beat you, and that kind of pisses you off a little bit. And you're not so much out there, you know, you're out there for one of two things. Another mindset, which is, you know, to either prove somebody else wrong or to prove yourself right.
Right.
You know, which a lot of fighters have that. You know, you got to be a certain type of individual, you know, to go out there and say, you know, I'm going to walk into this cage, this ring, you know, or on this mat, and someone's literally going to try to bend my arm backwards. Someone's going to try to put their fist through my face, not the back of my head.
But, you know, yeah. And being a fan of all, and I'm sure it goes with the fight game, but being a fan of all sports and hearing these athletes talk about it is, they're like, and that's why I want to ask you, you'll hear great football players, basketball players saying, you don't pay me to play the game. You pay me to practice because all that grind.
Yeah.
And I think it's even more for the fight game. Like, you know, you get into a big fight. You know, we're going to see Floyd and Connor in August. The lights are on, all the attention. As a fan, we're getting the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what those guys are feeling with all that attention on them?
I don't think Floyd cares. And I think Connor, you know, I mean...
Most but you guys, thrive off is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that it has a positive effect on them. I think they're getting exactly what they want at that point. I think the numbers are just too big. You know, the numbers, they're going to have so many commas in their bank accounts. So I'm not,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but to me, that's like the fun of it. To me,
exactly, yeah,
the grind
so.
Where I think fighters are born, not made, is that 5 a.m. when it's dark and cold and that road rip, you're running miles backwards and doing shadow boxing. You're sparring and you're getting hit on the side.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's practice, you know.
Dude, and you know what's also
the and
tough
the conditioning,
thing.
You know,
yeah,
it's crazy.
So conditioning, making, cutting weight, all that stuff. But you, a lot of people only see, you know, they only see the walk to the ring. You know, and under a certain weight, they're going to be in shape. They look tight. They look, you know, like they're having fun. They're getting in there, and they're only working for 36 minutes. You know, they're only working for 15 minutes, technically. You know,
yeah, air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. Sorry, podcast people, but air quotes. Only working for 15 minutes in MMA and stuff like that. What they don't see is the road work. What they don't see are the injuries. You know, nobody. Nobody shows up to a fight. Floyd's fought injured. Everybody's fought injured in just about any fight. They got something that's
absolutely
that sore, that's tweaked, maybe a, you know, a head injury or something that they're just, you know, that they're not disclosing. But the one thing that a lot of people don't miss out on is, you know, these fighters, they've got friends and stuff that aren't fighters.
Yeah.
And they've got friends that genuinely care about them and want to hang out with them. So they'll go out on Friday night and be like, yo, man, let's go. You know, there's these girls there. We got music. We got in for the bar, whatever.
Right, right.
And they have to say no.
Yes.
They have to say no to what is almost guaranteed going to be, you know, a nice night out with friends, memories. Good,
yes.
Good or bad, you know.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to turn that down because they know that they got to be, you know, they worked out all day. They still got to get in that ice bath. They still got in that cryogenic,
right.
You know, freezer for 3 minutes. They got to go home. They got to shower. They got to watch tape. They got to stretch. They got to put heat pads on. And then they got to be in bed.
And that's a great point. Yeah. And we're both fight fans. And I'm sure, like, I've watched a million documentaries and all that on everything. And anything I can read, a million books, any special. And that's what I think. I'm going to let you in here on the podcast.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, growing up, I would imagine, like, man, if I was a great boxer, if I was a great, you know, MMA fighter, a great martial artist, but then I always come back to that point. I wouldn't like the isolation. And to
right.
me, what you just described, that's the isolation.
Well, you're...
Where...
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, there's, you know, it's definitely starting up. No one's going to run with you. You know, you're nobody. You're 3-1, 3-0. Couple of decisions, no knockouts, man. You're driving yourself or taking the bus yourself to your gym, or you're running to your gym by yourself. You're getting yourself up. No one's invested in you.
No.
You know, you've got to, you know, with boxing and MMA, they do have the amateur circuit. And if you're Vasily Lomachenko, who's 1,000 amateur bouts and lost like none of them, and won 99% of them by savage knockout, you know, you're going to have guys look at you on the way up and are going to have your back when you go pro. MMA, you know, you can, it's not as deep. The pockets aren't as deep in MMA as they are in boxing.
No, they're not.
So, yeah, they're working against you. But you're right. The only thing you have with you is once you start doing it enough is you do have your team. And...
And
oftentimes, your team's training for fights too. You know, you got guys that aren't there for fights, who are just there to train you, and you spend 12 hours a day with them, six days.
But ultimately,
yeah.
And maybe, you know, you're smart, but they're not going through it like you are as the fighter.
No,
where when you have football, basketball, you have a team. You're in a team aspect. You have guys which even if you're on the O line. And you're getting hit. You're 300 pounds grinding.
Yeah.
You have the other lineman there with you to have your back. Where your
team, you can lean on somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Where your team in a boxing or MMA, they most likely, hopefully, you have a guy who supports you. They care about you. They want you to, you know, because if you lose, you know, money's out of their pocket too. Probably
that depends on the agreement that you have.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
But it's still like it's you taking them hits.
Exactly. Yeah, you can lean on them a little bit, but the more you lean on someone and don't focus on yourself, that's you doing yourself a disservice because you're not going to get that same respect and that same consideration when the bell rings.
Right. Right.
You know, that's it's protect yourself at all times. There's no one that's, you know, there are a lot of respectable guys in combat sports, but there are times when, you know, I've seen boxers tend and kickboxers give up and like throw their hand up and shoo the other guy away and say, I'm done. That ref ain't there. That bell doesn't ring. No, you do that. You're not giving up. The ref stops the fight, and the bell signifies that the ref stops the fight. That doesn't happen. You could be, whatever, you know, whatever, I give up, whatever. And that boxer could still come at you. Still
yeah.
Try to put you out. That, you know, you can still get a kick to the face by a TIE fighter. You know, it's... But... There are some guys that will be like, yeah, he just gave up. You know, guys who let go of chokes when he knows that they're out, when he technically doesn't have to, you know, stuff like that.
So, Floyd, Connor.
Yeah.
Got these guys fighting. It doesn't really... I have a couple questions. First is, with the rules leading toward, you know, boxing rules.
Yes.
Is there... What kind of chance do you give Connor at all to even...
Win a round?
You sort of, wow, I was going to say win maybe like an upset, but you win around. Like, I don't know. It's just, I know it's for the money. It's an attract. This is entertainment. But I think it goes to, and I've always had these debates as a boxing fan, I'm sure you've probably have heard them, is that boxer versus wrestler, boxer versus martial artist.
Yeah, man.
What is the way to try to figure that out, try to answer those questions?
You know, it's November 1993 in Denver, man. UFC put it on.
Did that do it? You think that
that's it? It's exactly it. Boxing is not the best self-defense when you have somebody who knows how to do a takedown. That's plain and simple. It's documented. It's fact. You know, you may get Ray Mercer knocking out Tim Sylvia. You know, may. But, you know, 100-pound Hoist Gracie, he was like 160, was destroying guys who were monsters, throwing minimal kicks, rocking a gi, and choking fools out, making them...
Do you think that answered a question of you need to be more versatile than just boxing or wrestling or whatever? Or do you think that proved that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is arguably the best martial arts?
I would say that BJJ is... I'm not going to give a percentage like 9 times out of 10.
No.
But I am going to say that, you know, in a strict, no holds barred scenario, you know, BJJ is the most effective.
To this day?
No. In a style versus style scenario. Today, you've got to, it's, which is way better for me, because I literally want to see a guy who can transition, you know, from heel hook to a choke, to a scramble, throw a head kick, throw a question mark kick, throw nasty elbows, sprawl, and I want to see him do it without breaking a sweat. You know, I want to literally see the fight IQ. I want to see the hamster in the head running, and I want to see the mechanics work. And you do that more fluidly with higher qualified and higher skilled fighters. You know, I'm not trying to see heavyweight. The problem with the big problem with the heavyweight division for the longest of times in both MMA and boxing were guys that weren't willing to put the cookies down. So they show up, they're banging, they're dangerous for 3 rounds in boxing, and they're dangerous for 2 minutes in MMA. And then it's, you know, jab, right, clinch, huff and puff.
True.
You know,
true.
And that's...
Well,
that's,
I mean, look, yeah, yeah. Even Riddick Bowe in the 90s, heavyweight champ, and what was his downfall was, like you said,
Buster Douglas had... he knocked out the best... The scariest person who's ever boxed.
In my opinion, the greatest upset.
You know,
in
I mean, he was the youngest. History. He was the youngest heavyweight champ. He was what, 20?
Who, Mike?
Yeah, Mike
was 20. Mike, 1920. He beat Berbick.
And made grown pro boxers not want to fight a teenager. He was a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all. That's also props to Mike's genetics, Mike's eating, Mike's weightlifting credentials, and Cuss, man.
Customato. The late, great Customato,
yeah.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of fight fans, he was never the same. If you always wonder what Mike would have been like if Cuss,
if Cuss was born 30 years after he was born. You know what I'm saying? Like, however, I read a statistic, on the internet, so you know it's 100% true.
That's true.
Internet's
never wrong.
Yeah,
never wrong.
Yeah, take it to the bank. All of Cuss's fighters, not one was ever seriously injured.
Really?
In any of their training or fights. Like, unless it was a freak accident, but the stats said none of his fighters were ever seriously injured.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm thinking of, I know Cuss had Floyd Patterson. Floyd lost to Liston twice. I think he did get knocked out, but he didn't. Yeah, he wasn't seriously, no. Wow, Customato. Okay.
Yeah, him and his training regimen, his squad.
Yeah, up in the Catskills in New York.
Yeah. Syracuse, right? Was that Syracuse? No.
They're in the Catskills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
wow, good stat there, Mike.
Little
Handsome Mike Prash with the stats.
Handsome Michael Apple Pie Prash. Don't forget.
That's right. AP, Apple Pie. Apple Pie. But, are you going to watch the fight Floyd and Conor?
Hell yes, I am. Absolutely.
For what, though? For just out of watching two skilled fighters? Or just because the country's... Is it because the country's going to be watching it, so you're going to be up? And you're an MMA fan, and...
Well, I'm an MMA fan. I'm an MMA fan at heart. You know, MMA. You know, watching a smaller guy incapacitate a larger guy, barely breaking a sweat, like gave me cognitive dissonance. Man, it changed my perception on what was real. You know,
I hear you.
Out of that, you know, now it was like, you know, kids, big kids at school weren't, you know, to be feared so much anymore. And you know, I didn't have to worry about too much, which nowadays that's all I worry about now. I look for two things out and about: flat nose and cauliflower ears. You can do whatever you want. So I really like, I want to be watching it live because I want to be able to say where I was, that I was there watching it. Should lightning strike for a third time and he land that left, you know, and he puts Floyd on notice.
No, I hear
you. I want to be there. I also want to be there because I want it to be, to bring it back to an earlier question, I want it to elevate both boxing and MMA. I want Conor McGregor to just put on a great showing. I want to see him at his best. I want to see him take it serious. I want to see him, you know, box. I want to see, you know, the little kid in me wants to see, you know, a spectacle and like a leg kick come if he's getting his butt whooped, you know.
No.
But most of it, I want to see Floyd, you know, acknowledge that, you know, MMA fighters, you know, they got skills. You know, I want to see competitiveness when I don't think everybody's going to expect competitiveness.
Well, everything you said is big reasons why I will watch it.
Yep.
The main thing for me is, do I think that will happen? No.
No, I also...
I don't think it will, but I'm hoping for it. Yep. But the thing is that... And I got it toward the tail end, but, like I said, big boxing fan, grew up my, you know...
Yep.
We've talked off air about the fighters, the history, the fighters I've met. Joe.
We're gonna talk all about that after this is done.
True, exactly. It's gonna keep going, y'all. Y'all missing a great combo, me and Apple Pie.
Yeah,
but
we got UFC Fight Pass on right now.
Exactly.
A little Mark Hunt action.
But I miss the days when the big fight was the Super Bowl, pretty much. Like how the Super Bowl, everything stops.
Yeah.
So then from back when Ali fought, way before then, but we can go to make more modern. Ali Frazier won.
Yeah.
Everything stopped.
Yeah.
It was a Super Bowl. On March 8th, 71, Madison Square Garden. You had Sinatra taking pictures. You had everybody. Every star was there. Everything stopped.
Yeah.
So the days of, you know, Sugar Ray and Duran and Hagler and Hearns to Tyson's fights and to me, I even got it with De La Hoya and Trinidad, some of those fights.
Yeah.
Those were big time. I missed those days. As bad as a fight, as we mentioned Mayweather-Pacquiao, it was awesome to see 2 years ago that everything stopped.
It did, yeah. It was
big. And it was cool.
Because you know what? It was like, you may not know the weight classes in boxing.
Right.
You may not know what kind of gloves that they were. But before that fight happened, you knew that Floyd should fight Pacquiao. You knew he should. He was best, you know. He wasn't a spring chicken. Like neither of them were spring chickens. He's fighting them.
No,
you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
But then again, years later, he fought Cinnamon Dom. You know, he fought Saul Canelo Alvarez and beat a 22 year old stud who hasn't lost since. Who's been dominant.
Embarrassed
since. He beat him really good. He beat him good. And who's also fighting Triple G in like soon, and that's insane.
And it was just great to see those days. Yeah. Everyone had an opinion. Whether it was an educated opinion or not, whatever. But that doesn't matter.
People were at least, you know, clicking the Google link. I got to know so I can talk about it.
Mayweather, Pacquiao, whoever. Yeah. That's how it was. Ali, Frazier. You had this side. You had that side.
Yeah.
And I miss that.
I do too. I miss we have way more access to live action right now.
Yes.
You know, I can, on a Thursday morning, watch Friday night fights in Russia.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
Live. On probably a 3-minute transmission delay.
Right.
I miss cable Tuesday night, Friday night fights.
Yes,
where you could still smoke in the arenas.
Yes, yes.
As probably terrible as it was for a fan. But, you know, it was, I don't know. It almost reminded me of a simpler time where it was more about, I don't know, it was just more about being in the moment than it is like, you know, now. You know, now everybody's, which I guess is how it always been. It's just more prevalent because of, you know, social media and stuff like that. I know everybody's all about, you know, fighting the right fight, getting the best fight for you, not so much the best fight for the fans. It's all about making money because you only have a little bit of time to do what you do, and I totally respect that. You know, I don't like the idea that Conor McGregor hasn't defended the title.
Right.
But I can understand why he didn't. You know, he's going for the money, and he's only young once. He's only skilled once, and he only has this opportunity to do it once, and he's making the most of it. So, you know, props to him.
Props. But, okay.
Yeah.
I want to, because it's good to hear. So we both think Floyd, but we're both excited for the potential that this could do for these sports.
Yeah, I mean, here's another thing to bring it back to, you know, whether at level it elevates, you know, either sport or does damage or whatever. If it's a circus, that does nobody any good.
No.
You know, it really doesn't. I know I just said like 5 minutes ago, you know, the kid in me wants to see, you know, Conor McGregor throw a leg kick. But, you know, that's a flash in the pan entertainment stuff. In the long run of things, you know, he'll get suspended by the Athletic Commission.
Health as he should.
As he should, you know, and nobody wants to see it. We want to see him, you know, box.
And because these, especially the boxing, MMA, these combat sports, have enough trouble with people wanting to call it, even though we know these are some intelligent, hardworking guys.
Oh, yeah, they're hardworking.
Hardworking, good guys. The and that's a perception that, you know, like they're just thugs and they're just street fighters.
Or they're dumb.
They're idiots. And they're idiots. To be able to put all this together, especially in MMA, in today's MMA, you're no idiot.
No.
You're no idiot.
No.
But that's what would happen if you get a circus. Right. Then look at it. This is a joke. Why I don't want to watch these barbaric, whatever, all that stuff, which is not
it's
true.
It's a joke. Yeah, if you illegitimize what they're doing.
Yeah, but it'll keep it going.
It will. I mean, it's
if it became a circus.
Yeah, if it became a circus. I mean, if Floyd knocks out Conor McGregor in the first round, I mean, what are you gonna do? When was the last time Floyd had a knockout in at all, much less in the first three rounds of any of his fights?
True.
No smack at all, not smack talking, you know, pretty boy Floyd, man. My man's, you know, in his 40s and he weighs half of what I weigh and would whoop me with his dominant hand tied behind his back. And I'm 6'2", 240. I think that kind of like gives boxers the idea that, see, you know, we're that much better at what we do than you punks, you know, stuff like that. Or if Conor McGregor comes out and just dominates, you know, what does that say about Floyd? I mean, people are gonna, you know, they're gonna say that he's too old through the fight, you know, because that's just not gonna happen. Yeah. You know, it's not gonna happen. It's not.
I do want to, because it won't do it for the sport, I don't think. And so many things have happened. But this is something that we didn't plan on talking about, but I was excited for it when it was going to be at UFC 200, and that was something that I couldn't wait. But to see Daniel Cormier, John Jones go at it.
John Jones has the most impressive record of all time.
John Jones, who many, and I will shout out to the Joe Rogan podcast, and Joe Rogan, a lot of times we'll put him as his number one of all time in MMA. Like
of all time, yeah. I mean,
John Jones, and as much of very polarizing, does a lot of things. There are a lot of things outside of the octagon that were not class acts.
Negatively affected his perception as a person, as directly had a negative effect on his career as an MMA fighter.
Absolutely.
And had a negative effect on the fans who wanted to see him be the best there is, the best it was, the best there ever
will
be.
But to me, there's no, and we talk about Fedor, but even over Anderson Silva, the things that John Jones does are just mind-boggling.
John Jones, see, here's the thing about padded records. You know, there are some guys who's got cans on their record. Everybody starts off as an amateur. Everybody starts off, oh no.
Right.
Everybody starts off as a nobody. Soon as John Jones got in the UFC, straight killers. I mean, he fought He fought anybody and everybody and outclassed them.
Well, let's look at it. And I want to ask you this because he's fighting Daniel Cormier, who what happened with Jon Jones, and he got the title that way. People slammed him. But Daniel Cormier, Olympic-level wrestler. If it wasn't for Kale Sanderson, probably would have a couple of national titles.
Yeah.
Kale
Sanderson's a stud, man.
This is a stud. The greatest amateur wrestler ever, Kale Sanderson.
Him, Gable. Like,
I put him over Gable even. You know, Kale Sanderson's a beast.
God, yeah.
But look who Daniel Cormier has beaten outside of Jon Jones. His record is, his list is amazing.
It is.
He is a future UFC Hall of Famer, but gets slammed. And I'm wondering, it's a two-parter, is that first fight, Jon Jones... Cormier put up a little, he had some heart.
Took him down twice just because.
Yes.
Jon Jones took an Olympic level wrestler down. Like double legged and Big Brother took his feet out from under him just because he could.
Unbelievable. And to me, it's like, whose legacy does this fight help more? Jones or Cormier?
DC. DC's got something to prove.
What happened if DC can win this fight? Would people say, hey, the suspension, will you hear all that mess? Well, not forget
no,
the mess. In your opinion,
not.
As a big fan, I consider you an educated fan and non-biased.
Right.
If Cormier gets this win in July over Bones Jones.
Jon Jones' career is solely reflective upon his own decisions.
Yes.
You know, he loses this fight, I don't care about his suspension. His suspension is his own doing.
Okay.
You choose to put something in your mouth that's a tainted pill or not. You choose where you get it.
Right.
You know, you know that you've been drug tested. You know what you got to submit on the forms that you fill out for the athletic commission. You know, in the state of Pennsylvania. Have you taken any over-the-counter meds? When was the last time you did it? Are you subscribed to any prescription drugs? When have you taken them? What's the doctor's name? Where do you go? This routine stuff, you know, you're a champion in the UFC. These are not things you don't think about. These are not things that you're just gonna slip your mind. You know, you buy something from GNC, maybe. You know, maybe you take a whey protein that's got something in it, and that's fine. There have been examples of tainted supplements being out there, and you know that's just the way it is. Jon Jones did not do anything like that. You know, he's got other things going for him. He could have been he could have went 50-0 because I'm not counting that loss to Matt Hamill.
We got disqualified.
I'm not counting that.
I agree.
I personally don't agree with the 12-6 elbow rule. You know, I don't agree with that.
Jon Jones could have been Michael Jordan of this sport.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
he could have elevated
youngest light heavyweight champion. I believe the youngest light heavyweight champion in history.
Yes,
steamrolling legends, steamrolling them. Not even close,
including Daniel Cormier.
Vitor Belfort. He steamrolled Rampage Jackson. You know, he obliterated
Evans.
Shogun, Rashad Evans. You know, I mean, he beat everybody. Convincingly, it wasn't even close until he got to Alexander Gustafsson, but he beat him. That was a legit.
But hey, everyone has those, and that kind of proves his greatness even more to me is that he did get tested and he came out on top in that fight. Because every good fighter has those tests,
dude,
even no matter how dominant.
There's a legendary, not legendary, in my opinion, it's a really telling thing about the sacrifice that these athletes put themselves through is the walk. From the cage on after his first Alexander Gustafsson fight, he is not having a good time walking back. You know, you can hear something really, really revealing is if you read. There was a thing about Jose Aldo, one of the best 145ers to ever have lived.
Right.
John Scott got one of his earlier fights in WEC. His name is escaping me right. John Brookings or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Florian.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Frankie Edgar commented on what their legs were like months after fighting Jose Aldo. And they were not right for months just from leg kicks. You know, I mean, he was the best in the world, but. Watching Jon Jones come back from that Alexander Gustafsson fight, man, he earned every dollar that he got for that fight.
I saw a picture of them two in the hospital after that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And John Jones's lip.
It's like, it looks like he got stung by a bee.
It's like a cartoon. It's like
it looked cartoonish. It was like a Looney Tunes.
You see a Looney Tune cartoon. Someone gets stung by a bee and it just grows. It keeps growing. That's what John Jones' lips look like.
It was literally cartoonish.
It was insane.
Yeah, but him and DC. I feel for DC because you know he stood to make a lot of money at their last canceled bout.
UFC 200.
UFC 200. He stood to make a lot of money. There was no weight issues with him at that time, too. He was on point to make weight, not like, you know, his last when he did the towel BS.
Yeah. I think I personally like Daniel Cormier. I'm a big fan of his.
So am I.
And I think, boy, this guy brings it. He is a great fighter.
And he started late in the game.
Yes.
He's like another Randy Couture. Randy Couture started fighting professionally and is like 33 years old.
Daniel Cormier, exactly. Great point on Cormier.
Yeah.
And the names, he's beaten pretty much similar names that John Jones beat, Daniel Cormier beat.
Yeah.
And he gets slammed. He gets booed so bad.
And Josh Barnett, like, beat the brakes off of
and Josh Barnett, a great catch wrestler.
Former UFC champion.
Yes.
Stud. Yeah. That was great. The which it just reminded me of the Strikeforce Pride Heavyweight Grand Prix. That was after Pride, obviously. That was the best heavyweight stable in MMA. You know, that's what made Strikeforce so great. That's one of the things that made it a valuable asset for the UFC to buy.
No, but so
back on
who do you John Jones to me, Einstein of this sport. Just the things he does, he looks like, and that's what we're talking, Mike and I, about. You see to me, you watch some of these fights, there's genius, and John Jones, to me, no one in MMA shows that genius more.
The only thing I don't like about John Jones is he's unapologetically not care about the way that he puts his hand out the paw and pokes people in the eyes. I don't know if there's any other fighter I've watched poke in the eyes.
Oh, he doesn't care. And that's true.
That's what's great about some of the rule changes in the unified rules of mixed martial arts. Which any rule change in MMA in any commission is based upon the state athletic commission. New Jersey can make a change. Pennsylvania can say, you know, go pound sand. We're going to do things our way.
Right, right.
Okay? The athletic commission is be all end all of every rule before every single fight. We technically could change the rules mid-bout.
Really?
All right? We can go in there and say, head, knees and kicks to the head of a down opponent. They're not going to. I mean, they're not going to, but the athletic commission has that power. So, the new rules dictate that when you are judging distance, when you got your hands up like you're in a fight, you know, fighters typically paw to judge distance. You now have to have a closed fist, or you have to tell the person to talk to the hand. You got to have your fingers skyward, not your fingers out, or they will have the ability to take a point away from that. Just for pawing. Just for pawing. They will give you a warning in the back, and depending on the ref, you know, I've worked with Dan Mergliotta, who is the man. I don't know if I know anybody who enjoys reffing and enjoys being in the back with both fighters and commission alike. Just constant smile on his face. My man is too big to be that happy, man. He is such a cool dude. But he, I believe it was him who was saying, you know, this is the warning. I'm not the only guy pokes today. I will take a point away.
How much of that do you think is a part of John? Like, do you think that will affect Jones's fighting ability at all?
No.
Because it does. A lot of fighters have complained about fighting him. Now, do I think that
they Rampage did it mid-fight?
Yes.
Rampage did it mid-fight.
Rampage Jackson did complain mid-fight. Yeah. I don't think that it changes the outcomes of any of his fights away.
No, absolutely not.
But a lot of people do complain about those eye pokes.
And that's the thing. It's not necessary. He doesn't need that. You know,
that's the enigma of John Jones. So many things, you go, why? You don't need to do it.
I mean,
you're so talented and so great and can do so much for this sport, yet you're doing these things that are costing you money,
most of the stuff that costs him his money is outside of the UFC.
Right.
And here's the thing. I could totally relate to that. When I was a young punk kid, You tap on that, I'm the baddest man in the world. I've got millions of dollars. You gifted me a Rolls Royce. I'm gonna I was the type of person where I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna make not on purpose bad decisions, but I'm gonna make decisions that guarantee me a good time that may not be in my best interest.
But why? You can call an Uber. You can call anyone to drive. It's still your Rolls Royce.
Yeah, it's a Rolls Royce, dog.
But you can call anybody. You can.
I could.
You can.
I could.
You know what I mean? Like
I could. You know, the one thing that really damaged him is, you know, when he got into that accident and he ran. First he ran, came back to the car, came back.
And it was injured a pregnant one. Was she pregnant?
She was. That you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, you should.
Oh no, it's bad. No matter what, I'm not making an excuse, but I think to what we're saying, it made the perception even worse to hear that,
because history has shown.
But it's awful for the kids listening. Hit and run's bad, no matter what.
Yeah. Stay.
Yeah.
Stay. Don't ever hit and run. You know, just be, because here's the thing: if you're in an accident, if you did something wrong, it's time to be a good person. You know, you trying to skirt your responsibility is not worth putting somebody through something unnecessarily. You know what I'm saying? Like, just take your lumps. You did something wrong. Man up. Admit it.
But apologize. That's the thing.
Do your time. And people forgive and forget.
With the money he has, let's be real. Let's be honest about the legal system. Gain the right lawyer. Probably, even if he had, weed on him, or he was afraid of that.
Well, I mean,
you get that cut down.
You get it cut down. I mean, yeah.
Then to run. To do the hit and run. Like, that's pretty common sense, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. Judge is definitely gonna look at that, and he definitely did the right thing afterwards, which was hire an attorney, throw as much money as he wanted at him, you know, show up to court, you know, apologize, all that fun stuff, and you know, now that chapter in his life is hopefully in the past, you know, he's moved on.
Is it?
I'm hoping, man.
Because to me, they're different, but they are
recurring now.
Yeah.
However, he's not a punk. Young kid no more. He's in his mid late 20s, man. He's not
a punk young.
He's got experience now. He knows, you know, he's probably been he's put his livelihood on the line and almost lost it more than one time over a period of time.
No one, if you weren't as talented as John Jones, if you're just a good fighter. So you say you're do you think you don't get these opportunities here?
I mean, Rampage did.
Rampage was
in his heyday too,
and so. He was helping build the sport. You know, he was a star. You know, in movies, he was helping to do it. But it's,
well, like Husamar Polaris, man. I mean, he was holding on. He was holding on to heel hooks.
Yeah,
you know, he ended Mike Pierce's career pretty much.
He did
with that ankle lock. I can't off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody who's done that type of stuff and gotten as many second and third chances. But I want to be an optimist. I want to say that John Jones is going to try to just be one, happy, comfortable in himself, and three, put on super exciting fights. And I think that with DC, their rival. First off, I love John Jones. Not trying to be fake, good, Christian, nice, you know, guy, whatever. You know, John Jones talking smack is my favorite John Jones.
Absolutely.
Unapologetically, some reporter tried to be smart with him and was like, yo, you gonna take any more, I'm gonna say you can edit it later, but are you gonna take any more dick pills, blah, blah, blah? He's like, nope, no more tainted dick pills. I'm not sponsored by Cialis, so I will take the appropriate pills when necessary. I'm like, that's the best, man. John Jones is,
and that's what I don't get. I don't know if he's trying to be somebody he's not.
I think
not.
That's himself. I think him willing to say something, willing to be ice cold and funny. I think that's him. And you know, he's clearly loved by his team. You know, him, Holly Holm are apparently really, really tight. Not really, really tight, but they're good training partners and stuff like that. You know, they're always, you know, on the social media, you know, smiling.
I just, what makes me sad is I don't think it'll, I want, who knows with a month, you know, into it.
Right.
I remember sitting at Miller's, you know, local pub by, you know, close to us.
Yep.
And I'm with, it's a packed Saturday night. And I forget the fight that was the month, a big fight. It was a UFC pay-per-view. It was like a month before Cormier Jones won.
All right.
And It's the night that CM Punk was announced that he's going to be in the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
It was a joke. But, you know, you see Rogan interviewing CM Punk. And I'm with some people. It's a packed house.
I think I remember. I know what you're talking about. Right. But it escapes me.
But it's a lot of, and I'm not saying that, you know, don't, not a sexist comment that women don't like UFC. But a lot of, like, women and just guys who aren't fight fans.
Right.
Are there. And they point out CM Punk. They kind of a little buzz. Oh, CM Punk, what's going on? Then they show a little montage to get you ready for the next month Cormier-Jones fight.
Yeah.
And you see the clips of them talking trash.
Oh.
And them having the fight at the press conference.
Yeah.
And the whole place got glued in. And people who did not know anything about these two go, when is that fight happening? I got to see that fight.
Yeah, it's got hype, man.
And that was a good fight. And it
was.
Impressed the mess out of me for John Jones.
Oh,
I thought, how can he handle his Olympic-level wrestler.
I mean, John Jones 19 feet tall, and he throws those nasty little oblique kicks that are deadly, man.
But handled it just... He out-wrestled an Olympic-level wrestler.
Yeah, he did.
Impressive. So when UFC 200, and they're hyping it up, and they get Brock Lesnar, who, hate him or love him, is a name,
yep.
I'm thinking, I don't care. I'll
back.
I will camp out in front of whatever bar to get a good spot to watch this. I am doing it. And the disappointment... Because that was getting the hype.
Yeah.
Oh, that was getting the buzz. That rematch.
Yes, it was.
And the disappointment of that.
It was heartbreaking. It really was. You know, as a fight fan, it was heartbreaking. I mean, with DC, his team, his management, you know, when a fight of that magnitude falls through, man, a lot of people are negatively affected. John Jones's team, you know, Jackson Winklejohn, you know, the city of Albuquerque lost out.
Right, right.
You know, AKA lost out. It's so far reaching at that level because of all the money that's involved. Not so much fans. Not that the fighters owe the fans anything. The fighters don't really owe the fans anything, in my opinion. At that level, they've put on wars. Their season. Best.
Okay, I'll give it. At that level.
You know they. Fans that bought the tickets just to see him says cards subject to change.
True.
You know, that's the thing about being a fight fan. You gotta know that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I thought that could have been, and maybe I'm making it too big.
Well, UFC 200 was, I remember UFC 201 or 199 being fire. I remember, I think they were both like ridiculous. And then UFC 200 was like, I don't know if it was because it was 200 and the hype.
Oh, for sure.
And UFC 100 was so awesome that it just set the bar so high.
Well, 200 had me going because, what was it, FS1 had the rankings, which we should do an episode about that soon.
Oh, yeah.
Of the 200 greatest fighters in UFC history. So it was just leading. The buildup was just great. It was just great. And the letdown. And now, I don't know if people are talking about this rematch, but I'm way more excited for the rematch of Cormier Jones than Floyd and Conor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but like, that's something that we got to get to. We got to, me and you.
Yeah,
Mike,
we're gonna watch.
Me and
if Hanson, I ain't got work, I'm
gonna watch. Me and Handsome Mike are gonna get together to watch that. We should do like a fight companion or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like a rogue. But anyway, that's you know, for the future. But who do you have? Because we got other things to talk about too. John Jones.
I think that was quick. Now,
That was
Tito Ortiz got Ken Shamrock's number. I just feel that.
But Shamrock was an older. He was older.
He was. DC's older. Like, I'm just saying. True. He ain't battle tested as long as Ken Shamrock was. Ken Shamrock was Ken Shamrock. But you know, John Jones is John Jones. John Jones, man. There's not many people that I would take against John. That I would take to beat John Jones.
I'm with you.
I would honestly. I don't mind being wrong. I actually don't like root for fighters anymore.
You root for a good fight.
I root for a good fight. There's only one fighter I'm always going to root for. He's fighting on Saturday. It was actually two guys. My buddy Matt Rizzo was fighting in Bellator. He's the opening bout on the 24th on Saturday at Madison Square Garden.
Was he the Ultimate Fighter? Was that?
He was the Ultimate Fighter.
Okay, yeah.
He won his fight to get in. Won the fight that he lost. He was winning out of 10 minutes. He was winning like 8.5 minutes of it. Got clipped. Got a little dizzy, got caught in a choke. You know, he got caught. But Matt Rizzo, I'm always going to root for. And my boy, Vandalay the Axe Murderer Silva,
Okay.
I don't care who you are. Him soccer kicking and stomping on Kazuchi Sakuraba. The viciousness of the first two Rampage fights was just scary. Him watching him in IVC, just bare knuckles and speedo. I don't even think there were cups back then. No mouth guard, just vicious. Vicious. That is absolute the closest to gladiator hand-to-hand combat to the death that we're ever going to see.
So I'm going to be with you, though. I got a John Jones. To me, he's Einstein, Mozart of the fight.
He may earn a spot on Mount Rushmore.
He may.
He's too good.
On Mount Rushmore of
MMA.
I think he's already there. Well, that's a great segue. Then we want to end on a couple of things here. So we want to end on.
What do you want to end on?
We'll do two. We'll do the Mount Rushmore.
All right.
And then we'll go into fighters, the dream fights we want to see, right. Fighters in their prime, dead or alive. Let's start with the Mount Rushmore.
All right. With the Mount Rushmore, in terms of, it depends on what you view, like best fighters, the top four fighters, or the most influential. You know,
for me, it's like a combo of both.
I think it is a combo of both. In which case, I think if you could merge Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta into one Fertitta, that deserves one spot. Dana White may have made the recommendation to pick up the UFC. But they and Stacy Casinos backed the hell out of that and took a lot of losses until it did a big turnaround.
We get it. The Fertitta brothers.
I think the Fertitta brothers deserve a spot on Mount Rushmore. I do think that was it Horry and Gracie and Hicks and Gracie, because they were the ones who and an investor and started the UFC back in 93,
yeah,
up in Denver.
Yep.
And then because Hickson was supposed to be their guy, and then something happened and Hoist was like, I'll do it.
Well, what I hear is that Hickson was so cocky, and it was kind of like, I know I'll dominate this. I'll send Hoist, who's the smallest, the run of the litter,
yeah,
he'll dominate you.
Right. And he did.
Yeah, the Gracie crazy. Clan, Hoist, the little brother, he's small. Hickson pretty much said, I'll kill this.
Yeah. All right. So instead of faces on Mount Rushmore, we're going to have a Mount Rushmore carved in stone plaque for the Fertittas.
Yes.
I'm going to put Gracie's up there too.
The Gracie clan.
All of them. I mean, they've all done so much for mixed martial arts. It's you can't have a conversation about greatness in mixed martial arts without saying the word Gracie. You absolutely can't. You know, those guys going way back to the old school Gracie Challenge. You know, back when they just started getting the video cameras, the grainy, crappy stuff.
And you go back to Kimura.
Yeah, you could.
Kimura Hilo Gracie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, man, they're fighting dudes on the beach. Yeah. Just because.
Yes.
$10,000 to win a fight. So just show up. Anytime. Gracie's, and I'm putting my dude Fedor Emelianenko up there. I'm putting Fedor up there. I mean, heavyweight guy. Man, who's gonna be my number four? Number four.
I wonder if we're gonna go to sync. I wonder.
I gotta put. Right now, I'm putting. I want to put BJ up there. Because BJ was anybody, anytime, anywhere, any weight. You know, I want to put him up there. John Jones has a better record though, and more dominant. I'm gonna have to put Johnny Bones.
Okay.
That'll be it. Those are my guys.
Okay. I'm gonna give you. We'll agree on John Jones.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a Hoist Gracie. And you're right. Everything you said about the Gracie family is true.
Because of their involvement with the business, yes. Not just being great.
But you know. Hoist, him being that size and him, the buzz that him and Shamrock got.
Oh yeah.
You know, let's not forget, to me, as impressive was the win over Dan Severn.
Oh yeah, that was.
I think it's the most impressive win, honestly, in my opinion, of that run was him beating Dan Severn. So I'm going to give you Bones Jones, I'm going to give you, just for everything he said and just what he is, I think he's the greatest in UFC. So you got to give him that. I'm going to give you, I'm going to stick to just Hoist. I'm going to go Ronda Rousey.
Women's MMA. I don't disagree.
I just think, and some may say she's overrated now that we've seen the women's MMA grow, and was it just she had some cupcakes? I don't know.
No,
but,
she did not.
And I agree. No. She did not. No. And to me, the biggest star UFC has seen to me is Ronda Rousey. As far as popularity, in my opinion, I think that's the biggest. As far as popularity.
Yo, Chuck. My man Chuck was popular.
Chuck Liddell?
Yeah.
Not more popular than Ronda Rousey. You think so? I disagree with you.
All right, that's fine. That's all
hey,
right.
Hey, that's what the podcast is for. That's fine. We got some debate.
Tito Ortiz, too, man. Tito Ortiz was popular.
Can't touch Ronda Rousey. Can't touch Ronda Rousey's run.
I'm just fine. Trying to be devil's advocate, you know. Yeah, she was. She was immensely popular. She did great for the sport.
And now women's MMA.
It really touched me was like, I'm sure, I don't know if you saw, but she like this like little 5-year-old girl went out as Ronda Rousey for Halloween.
Awesome. So cool. Yeah. So well, honestly, a little plug. One of the best books I've read, like autobiographies, is Ronda Rousey's.
Really?
Good.
BJ Penn's is good. I recommend.
All right, I'll get that.
I read that in one sitting.
Same with Ronda Rousey for me.
I was on a plane though. I had nothing else to do.
Oh, see, I was on a fishing boat. I don't like fishing. Everyone else, so I don't.
I can go on a boat. I'm the same way, man. I don't like. If I could throw a line in the water, no bait, just chill. You know,
exactly.
Like that's just relaxing.
Exactly. So I just down.
All right. So you got Johnny Bones. You got Ronda Rousey. Way to divert at Hoist Gracie. Also, way to be a little bit more diverse than me. Apparently, I'm a patriarchal, sexist, bastard or something. Got and love for the women MMA fighters though. They're fantastic. Yeah, four's hard.
I'm gonna give you have a plaque for the Fertittas.
You get plaques.
I'm gonna give a plaque here as my fourth for the Ultimate Fighter series.
Yeah,
just really coming into every week, seeing what these guys go through. I mean, given it's reality TV, but it helped make the sport popular.
Those fights were real.
Were real, and then you saw from Dana to the coaches to guys how much they loved and cared about.
Yeah,
this.
I like the premise of. I remember one of the original talking points of the Ultimate Fighter was they had a guy who had no experience who wanted to be a fighter. You know, he wound up getting his ass kicked. They took a guy, they took an average Joe off the street, and they put him on, and he got hosed. Like you got to be better.
But we mentioned it, and I understand. I agree. There's been a lot of fights that have been much better than the Bonner Griffin fight.
Oh yeah, but that series
put it on the map.
It did.
What though? You're right. It's funny because I look at Forrest Griffin, and he's in the UFC Hall of Fame, and as a person, I love Forrest. I think he's a great podcast guest. He's a great, just a chill guy, a real self-deprecating kind of funny
love
guy.
That. Yeah, he's a funny dude.
To me, neither one were great fights. To me, that's what makes that fight kind of cool is that it was sloppy. Like, they weren't bad fighters, but they were...
They showed up in shape. That's my pet peeve, man. If you don't show up in shape, I want my money back.
They were okay fighters.
Yeah.
But they left it all out there.
They did.
And the heart was there, and it was a back and
forth.
They
both earned a contract.
And they both earned a contract. And it put that sport on the map. So I guess in that case, you make them Hall of Famers.
I think that's a fantastic HOF for MMA. I mean, if that series didn't... In every thing you hear about, back in the day. And actually, that brings up a quick point. There are two types of MMA fans. Before and after The Ultimate Fighter.
True.
There are two.
True. Before That's a good point. Good point. It's a good way to look at it.
I would like to remind me. I got an idea to end it. To end the segment of the podcast.
Okay. So do you want to go into...
I do want to go into primes.
So Dream Fighters
and
their
Fighters
primes.
Dream Fighters
and
their primes. And I want you to go first.
You want me to go first? We're just doing one fight?
Let's just do one. This will be a serious thing, man.
Okay,
fight.
We'll start. We'll start with. One we had talked about off air that I would have loved to have seen,
which was
Fedor versus Brock.
Yes,
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, like a 2003 Feeder of Malenko and, 2009?
Yeah, Brock probably. Lesnar? Yeah, 2007, 2009 yeah. Brock.
I'd love to see Brock no diverticulitis. I'd love to really, really see him non-sick. Yeah. I also want to believe he was sick. I don't want to believe that he's just giving an excuse. You know, to me, that's what tainted Tito Ortiz, man. Every time he lost a fight, he's like, I got a broken skull, stuff like that.
Tito Ortiz
then don't
fight, man. Tito Ortiz did do that.
Yeah, don't fight. You know, I know you're hurting for money and stuff, and I understand it, but don't sit there and take an ass whooping and then be like, oh, I had a broke back. Well, got your ass beat with a broke back. Like, yeah. I'll tell you, you know, but
let me give a couple.
Go ahead.
Real quick. Because the ultimate to me that I've always heard and seen, and they're not, they were point fighters, I guess, but to see Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris do it.
Yep.
That to me.
Like real.
To really do it. Because there's always debates about who and who. Yeah. I would have loved. So that's my one. And I'm going to go back even further because there's some debate on is Bruce Lee, who's the father of MMA and all that. And people call Bruce, some people call Bruce Lee it. Mm-hmm. I say it's a man who's still alive. I just mentioned Ronda Rousey. He's like a godfather to her. But I'm a huge fan of him. Judo Gene LaBelle.
Gene LaBelle, yeah.
Is it, so, you know, he's the father of
him. He's got a story about making someone poop their pants.
Steven Seagal.
I was actually going to be my one of mine. And
Judo?
Judo Gene versus Steven Seagal. No way. Oh. I want John Jones now to fight Steven Seagal in his heyday.
Well, let me finish. I want to definitely dive into that.
Yeah.
But Judo Gene LaBelle.
Yep.
Going head to head with the man who we mentioned, Josh Barnett, and I don't know if you, I think you probably would know him, with Billy Robinson. Catch-as-catch wrestling legend from England.
Oh, okay.
Did some pro wrestling, but he just passed away. Trained Josh Barnett, a lot of other guys. But both have a pro wrestling, but both were legit tough guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Judo Gene. Billy Robinson. Oh, that's my two for now. We can keep going, right. But like you said, this can be an ongoing thing.
Could be.
So this might be a running series for us, but let me hear yours. So you say Bones Jones versus Seagal is one.
Yeah.
See, the thing is,
I just want to see Steven Seagal and his heyday get steamrolled. That's really all it is.
I hear from guys like Seagal, these movie stars, to take out Bruce Lee and Norris, right. But a lot of like from Van Damme.
Van Damme, just... He had a series where he did Muay Thai. He did an actual legit sanctioned Thai fight.
To Seagal. A lot of people say that they're not legit. They're legit that they did it, but they're not. Even Dolph Lundgren, you know, from Rocky. He was a black guy.
Well, he was more like bodybuilder. He was just a really big.
But he was a black belt. He did train, I think, with some of these guys. But... I hear mixed things about Seagal. I know Seagal with Aikido and
I'm not sold on Aikido.
I'm not either. That's why I debate my buddy about it. But
yeah, I'm not sold on Aikido. You don't see any Aikido guys in MMA. Any of them. You see karate guys in MMA. You see some Taekwondo guys. Razak Al-Hassan's Taekwondo.
Absolutely.
Fully UFC. Got his arm broke by Steve Cantwell. but like you see that, and you don't see not one Aikido guy.
No,
you would think that like yeah, you're not gonna like put your thumb in some dude's eye socket and rip it out. But if he's gonna be able to flip you over with the flip of your wrist, people pull at each other with their wrists.
We like, have right? to, and I hope
we
it's on
don't
YouTube.
See that
we gotta go on YouTube where Joe Rogan on his podcast has an Aikido guy on,
yeah,
and he pretty much destroys that. He says Joe Rogan feels the same way we do.
Yeah.
And he just destroys
it. Doesn't work.
So after the show, and for our viewers, I recommend watching that on YouTube.
Yeah,
look
please
up Joe Rogan.
Show me that stuff.
Yeah, because he just destroys it, and it's hilarious.
That was just me like hating on Steven Seagal a little bit.
But okay, so Bones Jones Seagal.
However, Under Siege, love it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable films.
Yeah. So the one thing is Vanderlei Silva, 2003. Okay. First Chuck. 2003, Vanderlei Silva, early 2000s versus Shogun.
Wow.
Would love to have watched them shoot box straight up MMA. They would never do it, though, and I can respect that. You know, I can respect, you know, two guys that really love each other as, you know, teammates and friends and stuff like that. Just saying, you know, anybody in my division but that guy. And that's how Vanderlei was. If you were 185, 205, he didn't want anything absolutely. To do. He didn't care. If you were in fight game, he didn't want anything to do with you.
This is really, and that's a great one. I love both. Even the Seagal one, I love to see Seagal get, his comeuppance. Got one, though.
Go ahead.
Because they all say Hicks and Gracie was the baddest of them all.
Yeah, what was his weight? You remember? He was over 2.
I thought he would fluctuate a little bit.
Okay.
We got to look that up. But if he could fluctuate a little bit.
Boss?
See, I didn't think Boss. I thought Hickson was. I got to look up Hickson. I thought Hickson might have been like maybe a little. To me, I'm thinking Hickson, he might be too big. You're right. But my dream was, because that like triumvirate of GSP and Matt Hughes.
Oh, yeah. We were.
And BJ Penn.
Oh, yeah. Those three guys, that little fight love nest triangle, man, we were. That was such a treat. That really was. That was us. We literally watched GSP grow up. When he lost to Matt Hughes, he would say that was the only time I was starstruck. He was like, that was the only time I was like,
you know, yes, he did. Yep, I did.
And Matt Hughes even commented, when he was fighting him, it was almost like he made a rookie mistake in putting his arm up in a scramble when he was on his back. Like, you don't do that against me. And he's like, I took his arm. And then after that, like, GSP was like, now I know I can beat. That's what it took.
And that triumvirate really, to me, was, people don't talk about, help build a sport, those three guys.
Oh, yeah. They were, because, they were actually, like, the smack talk that they did amongst themselves was like, oh, I'm not impressed with, whatever. They really weren't that bad. BJ with GSP getting grease on them, I can understand that, because, anytime that anybody sees somebody do something that they're not going to do in the fight game, they're going to freak out. And rightfully so. I mean, you're going to get punched in the face. With a 4-ounce glove in MMA, you're going to get elbowed and kicked in the face. Maybe you shouldn't be greased. I don't think Phil Nurse greased GSP on accident. I don't know if you've seen the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that time, and that's a commission thing. That's one of the reasons why in Pennsylvania, if you touch a fighter with grease, you have to, there's only one person allowed in the ring or the cage. If you're going to work the cut, you got to have gloves on, medical gloves. You work it, and then you leave. And you don't touch them anywhere else.
Okay.
And you take the gloves off, and you got to get new gloves. Or we've most likely, more than not, we will have a designated cut man from the promotion there.
Interesting.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's got a couple of really great cut guys. Joey I. I work with Joey I all the time. Gotta give him a shout out. So he makes like mold wine too on the side a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a smack talker. He was in Creed for a quick second.
Oh, he's in Creed. That's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Creed had a lot of Philly real, like Front Street Gym was was in that.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
They were.
Oh, Creed. Know? Creed did a phenomenal job. I mean,
but
I we could keep. Wow,
I know. I got right off topic.
We should do a cast on
right off topic
boxing movies. But Hickson. I was if he could make the weight, I gotta look at it, or if they could jump up, but against any one of those three, not at the same time, of course, right. But Hickson versus Hughes, Penn, GSP would be great. Yeah. But I know you're right; Hickson did go around 200. So to me, Hickson versus Bones Jones
in their heydays.
Yes.
I don't think that's a. I think Johnny Bones is he's too long. He's too big.
I don't. But the way people talk about Hickson Gracie, that's just the man. Not just him, so he talks about himself that way.
Actually, there's a documentary he did called Choke.
Oh, of course, on YouTube. I recommend that as well for people.
Choke.
That's on YouTube. Very great.
Yeah.
That's where I watched it. I was supposed to be working, but I had Choke on.
I would.
That's our secret.
Yeah. right now we got in the background we got one of my favorite fights of all time, which is Vanderlei Rampage 2. When he leaves Rampage dead in the ropes.
Yep.
I got love for Rampage, though, man. I don't want to smack talk him. I know he hates that. not that I've ever met him before, but, just in case.
Handsome Mike and Rampage go way back.
Yeah, we do. We go way back. But mine is I'd love to see Shogun Anderson.
Yes.
In their primes. Honestly, BJ. I would love to have seen BJ Penn in his prime fight 145 Jose Aldo.
That's a great one.
BJ, that's a great one. BJ's size and skill was not fair for the early 2000s, man. He was too good, but he wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
They didn't have the light sizes. Jens Pulver fought like 8 pounds below weight all the time. You know what I'm saying, man? That's why you got to give props to WEC for giving us all those stud, young, little, nonstop buzzsaw fights we get at the lighter weight classes.
Right.
They really put them on the map.
Yeah. But, man, we touched a lot, man.
But not too much.
That's true. You said there's something else that you wanted to... Was there something
Best personality.
MMA. Best MMA. Personality. MMA. In history or...
Just your favorite right now. Like
right currently or...
Like right now.
Best personality.
Personality in any aspect of MMA.
Ooh. I'm going to go with... It's tough. Mighty Mouse?
You like the Mighty Mouse? I get that.
He's just a chill dude to me. I like
him. You know what I like about him? He's like I'm a fighter. Yeah. I'm not a promoter. You know, I really like that aspect, you know, because the promoter's job is to promote the fights.
Right.
I am paid to show up on weight and do the thing.
I respect the trash talkers because that brings in the business, but that's not me.
Helps your pocket.
That's it helps your the pocket. That's what sure. you do. It's not me. But we mentioned him earlier, the Cleveland kid, Stipe. Stipe just has a likability.
Did you see him and, who was it? Junior DeSantis, they were at a basketball game, flexing off. I love but Junior DeSantis is a chill dude, too.
I like those guys. To me, in anything, if I can sit there and do what we're doing now, or go out to the restaurant, have a beer, and grab a bite, and we can just talk and chill and have good convo. That always, in any sport, any kind of entertainment, like, that hooks me to make me like you. Well, so, like, Stipe and Demetrius
have that. As the, by the way, mine is Boss Rutten. I feel like I could just go to Boss Rutten's living room.
So you said like, current. Okay, well, Boss, oh,
yeah,
Boss
a is a personality, you know? Yeah, you know.
Boss is great. Boss is great. Boss is great.
You know, but you to get to your point about, like, you know, being able to be out with fighters and stuff like that, working for the state, you work directly with fighters and fighters camps. I've been doing it for a year and a half now, and there are times when I'm working Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays in 1 week, you know, Tuesday night fights and stuff like that. And you get to know these guys that you're seeing almost on a weekly basis, and there's a lot of solid squads, different fight camps that are just welcoming. I remember this one fight camp works out of Front Street Gym. You got fighters like Brandon Pizarro, Angel Pizarro, Christian Carto, Jerome Boutsenis. His dad, their dads are trainers. When I first started, you know, I was, you know, I'm a bigger guy, so I can kind of like look a little imposing. If you don't know who I am, if you do know who I am, it's another joke. I'm hilarious.
He is apple pie.
So, but they were really like, they just kind of welcomed me into
that's awesome.
The industry. So now it's like if I see him out, like I'm supposed to be really impartial. I'm like, duh, I totally am. But it's like them. There's this pro boxer, I believe, out of Baltimore named Lenwood Dozier. It just such a gentleman, just such an absolute pleasure to work with.
And I'm glad you're saying that because, like we said earlier, what is and maybe it's getting better than what it was in the past. But what's the stereotype is what these are mean brutes.
Oh yeah, these are poor kids. Yeah,
you know, you look at them wrong, they're gonna hit you.
Yeah,
you know all that stuff. Where honestly, a lot of these MMA fighters get tested. And they know, they're like, hey, man.
Oh, you get humbled. Yeah.
But they know that, hey, I will embarrass you. They're going out somewhere. And you see videos, you hear stories. And they're like, hey, man, just stop.
Jeff Munson was at a rally, like a anti-Trump rally or something like that. Some guy was straight swinging at him. And you could see in his body language, Jeff Munson wanted to be Jeff the Snowman.
I love him.
And he didn't. And you know what? It was on video. He would have gotten the book thrown at him. And you know what? Some drunk redneck dude probably feels like he's all big and bad because he swung at another big guy.
Because Jeff Munson, he's a thick guy. He's like 5'9", though.
Yeah, he's not big. I mean, he's not tall.
He's not tall. He's
huge. He's a heavyweight.
Yeah, he's big. He's stout. That's why I love him.
Yeah.
Because he's built like me. He's 5'9", right. But you see me. Yeah. I'm big, you know.
You've got freakishly long arms, dude. but with that, you're absolutely correct. And these... these kids that are soft-spoken, you know, when they come up to you, they look you in the face, they shake your hand, they say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And the, and Brandon Pizarro is 19 years old. Christian Carto is like 18 years old. Angel's 21, 22 years old. Jaron Ennis can't even go out and buy a beer. Not that he would. The new Ray Robinson is is fighting on next Friday down in AC. So is Brandon Pizarro.
Okay.
Christian Carto.
Okay.
Shout out to some Philly kids and stuff like that. But and that's just one of, like, off the top of my head, like four or five different camps in the Philadelphia, Jersey area that fight in Jersey and Philly all the time. And I cannot speak more highly of their professionalism, the quality of the fighters that they're putting out there. They're showing up on weight. They're showing up in shape. They're showing up skilled. They're showing up with the right materials. I barely have to do anything because they have the right materials. They're wrapping hands the right way. They have a system for cornermen. They're in and out of the ring. They listen to what I say. They listen to, they're actually using me to help their time. You know, it's not some group of guys punching each other in the face. It is a sport. It's regulated. They treat it professionally, and they do it very, very well.
That's awesome. And I'll say this to close. A, as a person, you know, I got nothing but love for you. And B, it's great to sit half down and do this with you, because not only from the professional side, but as a fan, just hearing you talk, I get that love, that passion.
Yep.
And you're open-minded, where you want to get to know as much about the sport. You want to keep growing in your knowledge and keep growing your knowledge of these fighters. And like I said, as a fan, I hated that when, you know, these guys, they're getting slammed and they're getting put down and, oh, it's this kind of sport, it's shady, all that stuff. Maybe some people running it can be shady.
Oh, yeah.
But these guys, guys,
yeah, it's a big problem.
Are some hard-working, real as you can get people,
yeah,
a lot of them. And I love boxing, loving MMA, and I'm loving this conversation, man. So thank you so much.
All right, you're gonna show me that that YouTube clip.
I will,
right?
Show you. I will show you. So let me close it out for handsome Michael Apple Pie Crash and Darren Dove. This is the Couch Rider Report. Thank you guys for listening, and we gotta do this again, man.
Thank you very much for having me. I really had a good time.
It's a lot of fun. All right, peace.